Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Wednesday, September the 24th, 2025. We hope that you are having a good day. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Back from a couple days off.
Couple days.
You seeing good now?
I had cataract surgery on the right eye. Next Monday is the left eye. So I'll be out a couple days next week. This is strange. Being able to get up in the middle of the night and be able to see. Don't have to fumble around for glasses or anything like that.
So your right eye made a vast improvement already, huh?
Yes, it really has. It is a little, okay, Brent Creeley's holding up fingers. I can count. So my left eye, I still have my contact in, and so it is a little strange kind of getting those two to function properly.
Yeah.
But
awesome. Well, we're glad. So get the next dueling cataracts, you know.
Yes.
It happens when you get older, you know.
It is. When I told my sisters that, you know, they want to know how everything goes. So I texted them and then used the old man emoji.
Yeah.
There's this old man emoji.
With the gray hair.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Dueling cataracts. Kind of like dueling banjos,
yes,
in a way.
That's
kind of like dueling banjos of the eyes.
Of the eye sockets.
Yeah. All right, Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Wesley's our resident MAGA nut.
Yes.
Here in the program.
And by the way, our audience can be thankful that we do show prep. So whatever, I've got it out of my system.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is out.
We'll see. We'll see if it's out of your system.
Fred Jackson.
Yes. Good to be with
you
guys.
How you doing, Brother Fred?
I'm doing well. My daughter used to work at an eye clinic.
Oh, really?
And some folks would come in with similar, you know, getting older and that sort of thing. Yeah, and they would say, I want my cataract surgery.
Cataract. That was for the doctor. That's the way the doctors looked at it.
Yeah.
Is there cataract surgery? My wife had to go with me because they did have to give me, put me under and a little anesthesia. So you can't drive. Drive for 24 hours. So my wife was with me and we were having a good time joking around. We were in the waiting area. And I told her, I said, Diane, I said, it's nothing but old people in this waiting area. I wanted to, when they finally came and took me back there, all the people working in the back, they're all young. The doctor who worked on my eye, Dr. Miles, she's very nice. But all of these, the anesthesiologists, all the one who put my, you know, all of them young.
They're half your age.
maybe. Less than that.
Yes.
I wanted to ask him. I wanted to say, do you ever get tired of seeing one old face come through here, one after another? Because that's what you're working on. I told my wife that. She said, no, do not say that.
Right.
But
pays the bills.
Pays the bills.
I like to insert something right here.
Insert it.
I'm going to insert it. We don't often thank our listening audience enough, so I want to take a moment just to say I appreciate everyone tuning in, listening. Over the last couple of weeks and traveling, I'm reminded of how much our listeners are appreciated of AFR and AFA, and we've got some really, really, really faithful listeners and supporters. So I just want to say thanks to all those who are tuning in right now. And then when Dad gets started, if you want to tune out, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's hurtful.
Hey, listen, you started this.
I did?
Yes.
So
the MAGA was fine. You called me the MAGA nut.
I did.
And then the
did
nut
call,
was
I
the
did
part.
I call you a MAGA nut. That was gratuitous.
No,
you know what that means?
I can handle it.
Can you spell it?
It's all good. Yeah, it starts with a G.
Oh, okay. Man.
Anyway, moving right along.
Yeah, sure.
Fred Jackson, what's on a more somber note?
Yes, breaking news out of Dallas, Texas this morning. Investigation continuing at this hour. At a Dallas immigration office, I'm told, near the Love Field Airport there in Dallas. Three people shot this morning at the immigration office there. Now, we're still getting details on this. What we do know of the three people, Fox News at least is confirming at this hour, these were detainees that were being brought into the building there, the ICE building. One of those detainees was shot and killed. Two others are being treated at a hospital right now. The shooter shot himself and killed himself. Now, you guys are able to look over to
the news.
The news.
We have a news TV feed in our audience.
And you're probably seeing a group of microphones. There is supposed to be an update to this fairly shortly on this. But this is what we know. You can go to AFN.net. AFN.net is our breaking news right now on this. But early on, they weren't sure whether it was some of the ICE officers, perhaps, or visitors to this center. But Fox News, at least, is reporting that the people wounded, and sadly, one of those three were all detainees being transferred there. And the obviously, we don't know the motives of the shooter at this point, but after he had fired off a number of rounds, he killed himself. That's what we know at this hour.
That's a weird story.
It is.
It is. It is weird. And obviously, we're not going to get anything out of the shooter, but hopefully there'll be this is weird. I said hopefully. A lot of these shooters leave manifestos.
Yeah, there's
they're wanting to make a point.
Yeah.
And they're wanting to get some message out. So if the shooter did not leave a manifesto, if he wasn't if he wasn't trying to make a political or cultural point, if it was something personal, if not that, maybe on social media he gives some there's some insight into why he did this.
An ICE official, Madison Sheehan, was interviewed this morning shortly after this incident, which, by the way, occurred around 6:30, 7 o'clock Central Time this morning. She addresses the growing concern within ICE about the anti-ICE rhetoric that is out there that is endangering the lives of ICE officers. Cut number 17.
Well, look, we've seen a lot of protests nationwide at ICE facilities. We've seen a lot of violence at ICE facilities. And this is not the first time that we've seen an attack, even this year, at an ICE facility. And so we will look at all motives, all areas of this. And as the rhetoric continues and the danger against our officers continues at an increase of over 1,000%, we know that a lot of this comes from the different motivations that we're seeing online over the last few weeks as rhetoric increase.
Yes, but what makes it weird here is that there weren't ICE officers or agents that were killed. That's what makes it a little bit odd.
That it was immigrants.
Immigrants, yeah. Now, then the question begs that what were they thinking that the detainees were officers? You know, like, I don't know. Well, I mean,
we don't know.
Wait and see.
Yeah. But this guy was on top of a building, shot three people who were being brought into the ICE detention center.
That is what we know at this hour.
And then killed himself.
Yes.
Well, maybe they'll be able to shed more light on that.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting, this ICE official talking about the rhetoric out there. And we have government officials. I mean, we saw what happened, was it last week? California, Governor Gavin Newsom signed into law that says people cannot wear masks. In particular, ICE agents. You know, that was the target, you know,
right,
from the left.
Unless they have COVID.
Have COVID. But he passed a law saying that they, of course, I think the ICE officials are saying, we're going to ignore that. We are going to protect our officers.
The governor has no authority
over ICE
or any federal law enforcement. You can't tell them what their uniform it could be, has to be.
Yeah. What is it? So, okay, I know sometimes when we look at the political left in this country, we know what their motivations are. And then sometimes you look at and see what the positions and stances that they take, and you go, "Are you whose side are you on?" Okay, So let me ask you a question. This may not we may not have an answer for this, but so the ICE is the Immigration and Customs
Enforcement.
They're a federal agency. They come under the Homeland Security Department, right?
Yes.
Department of Homeland Security, I think is what it is. DHS. Okay, so, and that was, wasn't that created post 9/11? I don't think we had that agency prior to that.
Wasn't it INS or something? Immigration Naturalization Service. I think they just changed the name. I'm going to look that up.
Okay.
Though, well, anyway, when this.
Okay, so they exist to physically arrest people and have them deported. That's their job, right?
Who've broken the law?
One of their jobs. Yeah, who've broken the law? They're here illegally. Go ahead.
Okay. So ICE was created as part of the Homeland Security Act of 2002, following September 11 attacks. It absorbed the prior functions of the Immigration and Naturalization Service, INS, and the United States Customs Service. So those two, a new department was created and absorbed these other two departments.
Okay. But ICE is basically responsible for deportations. Right, somebody's here illegally. ICE goes and detains them, and sends them back home. I mean, basically, or somewhere. If they're a criminal, I don't know what they do exactly, but I don't know what exactly the full process is. But okay, so here's my question, and I think I know the answer to it, but still, I need somebody to help me with this. So the people that are protesting ICE. What they're doing right now, who, as by the way, ICE is only responding to Joe Biden letting 15 million people into here illegally, many of them criminals. And so the problem was created.
That's right.
By Joe Biden and his open borders policy.
Right.
So my question is, the people that are reacting against ICE politically, like Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, saying they don't need to be allowed to wear masks while they do their jobs. Okay, do these people not want anything done at all? I mean, do they just want to dismantle ICE? Do they not want to have border immigration laws? Is this what they're getting at? Tell me, please.
Well, and I'll just jump in here, but you know, Wesley and Fred can jump in. I think they believe in the open borders policy. They do not want ICE. ICE is following the orders of the current administration. So the executive,
which is what
Trump ran on this. He orders ICE. They, you know, get new people in there, and there are people who do not want these illegal immigrants removed.
Okay.
ICE is the bad guy.
Okay.
They're being treated like they're the Gestapo.
So if you can get, excuse me for interrupting. So the Democrat position, generally speaking, the Democrat Party is, if you can get into the country, get into the United States illegally, they wouldn't say it's illegal, but undocumented.
Because no person's illegal.
If you can get in here, you should be free of any kind of threat of deportation. You should be allowed to stay forever, and we'll help. We'll fund everything, give you free medical care.
And ICE,
that's their approach.
ICE's job at that point is to help make that happen. Once you're here, they make sure, as you would say, that you get your subway coupon.
Right.
You get tied into the medical system. You get free education at colleges and universities. ICE helps make that happen.
Yeah. Right. And that's not even an opinion.
Right.
You just have to look at what Joe Biden, his plan that he executed when
he came in. Do you think half of Americans just don't give a rip about borders at all?
No, I don't.
That's the position of one of the major political parties in this country.
Yeah, so Newsom represents the radical left for the Democrat Party, and their position. I'm looking here. I'm trying to find if he's got a quote. He's been back and forth. His most recent one is opposed to what I'm about to say. Over the years, Newsom has been defund the police. So forget the border set the border subject aside for a second. He's been for, so he didn't even like Law and Order within citizens, much less those coming across the border. So a combination of defunding the police has been their position and not caring about the border. Now, why that is, I mean, there's probably five reasons or more. You know, I think they actually benefit from creating chaos, because when they create chaos, then they can be the solution to the chaos. Also, too, they don't have to live amongst, most of these politicians don't have to live amongst the problem they've created either. We talked about judges before. So the judges that let the criminals out, they're also living behind gated community. It's not their daughter that was killed on the subway. So that's
also new voters.
Voters. I forgot that. That's on the list of the top five. Sure.
They wanted all these illegals to become Democrats and make the Republican Party a permanent minority. Mm-hmm. They let them all in. They get them free health care. They get them free food. They put them
especially
in New York
California.
City. They were kicking veterans out of hotels. Remember? Putting illegals in these hotels, and the government was paying the hotel top dollar, so the hotels were okay with it.
And so fundamentally, we've got other stories we've got to move to. So fundamentally, the divide is between people who believe in border control and legal, lawful process of immigration versus people who don't believe in borders and believes everybody should be allowed to come
here. And I even think within the Democrat Party, I do think there's a lot more, I think it is a lot more divided in the Democrat Party on the southern border issue. Now, people that are here that have been here for 10 years, it's been working, but the idea of shutting down the border, I do think there's more Democrats that agree with that than don't.
I agree with Wesley. I don't think it's 50-50. I think theoretically it might have been 50-50 in the year 2020, but when the genius governors of Florida and Texas and
Louisiana,
they started sending
Arizona, they started sending
the illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard, okay, and to New York City and to Chicago. That turned the tide, even in the Democratic Party, because a lot of these folks were saying, hey, listen, we got money to put these people up in hotels and give them free health care. How about me and my family?
Yeah.
And so I think you have a very hardcore, maybe 20%.
Yep, they're still going to vote Democrat.
And
that's true.
That is true.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that.
I'm saying I think the National Democrat Party, Joe Biden led the way, Kamala Harris, I think they are for.
They are.
They are for open borders.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to say it exactly like that, but it's y'all.
I don't know. I think they do say it like that. They said we're welcoming a surge.
Yeah.
Let me just toss one other thing in.
Toss one other thing in.
It's not my hat into the ring or anything like that.
We toss it.
Here's, and I've been saying this since 2020, and I'm not alone, okay?
Okay.
I just want you to understand here, this is not unique to me. But I've been reading a lot of things on social media about the government trying to break up threats from terrorists internally. I think that is coming. I think we're in for some successful terrorist attacks. And that the cause of that is that wide open border.
Yep.
Where all these people, I'm talking about Chinese nationals, I'm talking about Muslim radicals, I'm talking about other people who just even from Iran, Al Qaeda, okay, all these different places. When that kind of stuff starts to happen, everyone's going to be saying, how'd they get in here? And it's going to be Joe Biden, the mummy, okay, the living mummy, all right, and his administration let all these people in, and we're all going to pay the price for it. And that is going to completely shut the door, so to speak, on open borders being a thing. The Democratic Party is going to have to run from that.
Okay, next story, Fred.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel came back on the air last night.
Great guy.
That guy.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. Solid.
For just a quick review. He was taken off the air by ABC in the wake of comments that he made shortly after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, where he indicated that he believed perhaps it was a MAGA person who carried out the assassination.
No, it wasn't perhaps, it was.
Yes.
It was a MAGA person.
So he was taken off the air, but ABC decided to allow him to return to the air last night, although there are groups of affiliates run by two broadcasters, Nexstar and Sinclair. Those ABC affiliates did not run the show last night. But let's have a listen to a little bit of what Jimmy Kimmel had to say last night as he returned to the air. Cut number one.
I don't think what I have to say is going to make much of a difference. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. I have no illusions about changing anyone's mind. But I do want to make something clear because it's important to me as a human. And that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man.
I don't
think there's anything funny about it. I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion, and I meant it, and I still do. Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed
Not
individual.
True.
That was really the opposite of the point I was trying to make, but I understand that to some that felt either ill-timed or unclear, or maybe both. And for those who think I did point a finger, I get why you're upset. If the situation was reversed, there's a good chance I'd have felt the same way. I have many friends and family members on the other side who I love and remain close to, even though we don't agree on politics at all. I don't think the murderer who shot Charlie Kirk represents anyone. This was a sick person who believed violence was a solution, and it isn't. Ever.
Okay, that's some good stuff there. Okay, yeah. I appreciate some of the things he said there. He did. The reason he got in trouble, I don't know if he says it was never my intention. Did he say, I was kind of confused there. Did he say, he did say the correct thing. Well, he said this was a MAGA person who shot Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
And that the MAGA crowd, MAGA gang, he called him, was trying to make it look like it was something else other than, this is, I about got his exact quote, than a MAGA kill, the person motivated by MAGA kill MAGA,
right.
A MAGA leader. Right? Isn't that what he said?
Yes, and yes. It would be a good time right here to emphasize that he said that following multiple days after the fact when we knew for certain that the assassin had LGBT, far left motives written on the bullets that he put in the gun. So we had multiple evidence showing that this guy was a left leaning person that shot, and he said it was a MAGA. We knew that it was so he lied. It was a shorter yeah. way of saying that he lied.
Yeah. So that's what he got in trouble for.
For lying.
That's with his own company. And so,
yeah, the exact quote was, the MAGA gang is desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
That's what he got in trouble with his own company for.
Yes.
And that's not what he apologized for.
Some are saying he didn't apologize last
night.
He just said they misread me.
The best part, he said some good things there, but anyway, we'll see what happens. But the big thing is, are a majority of the ABC affiliates going to put him back on or not? Because
right now, no.
And so, all right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, a lot more to talk about. Stay with us.
Finally, some good news. Over 38,000 babies saved and more than 4,000 commitments to Christ through the ministry of Preborn this year alone. Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Preborn's networks of clinics provide hope, love, free ultrasounds, and the gospel in action across America. This is Ed Vitagliano. Will you join Preborn and AFR as we rescue 70,000 babies' lives this year? For $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and help save a baby's life. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, thank you for listening to AFR. We have been talking about some big issues in the news the last few days, and at least and this morning. We led with this story. This morning in Dallas, there was a shooting at an ICE, that's Immigration Customs Enforcement Center. Is that what you call it? Anyway, somebody shot from the top of a building, just like they assassinated Charlie Kirk. And the FBI is reporting, according to CNN and Fox and even MSNBC, they're saying that the FBI is saying that the messages found, okay, first of all, four shot, two dead now at this ICE facility in Dallas. And the FBI is saying the shooter left anti-ICE messages
on the rounds,
which just like Charlie Kirk's assassin.
Yeah. Yes. Now
Tyler Robinson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
and also just like the Catholic shooter.
Did they do the same thing?
Yeah, they wrote it. They wrote on the rounds
on the magazines.
On Minneapolis.
That's the one I'm
Nashville. Yeah.
Anyway, Church. Listen, it's a dangerous time to be in law enforcement, especially to be in working for ICE. Governor Newsom in California wants the ICE to have to take off their mask so that they can be doxxed and make them and their families more likely to be attacked. Am I right?
Yeah. He didn't say that that's why he wanted to do it. People who
that's
are
the net effect in my
that's the net effect. That's what everyone's concerned about. That's what ICE is concerned about. That's what Tom Holman was concerned about. And that if you prevent these ICE agents from covering up their faces, then the other side will learn their identity and where their family lives. And we are seeing an increased openness to using violence from people on the left to get their point across.
Yeah.
And you can't deny that when the people doing the shooting write their messages on the rounds.
That's right.
Or on the magazines that they're using.
Again, why would you be opposed to ICE? Why would you shoot somebody? What would be your reason?
Well, you
what think would be your most obvious reason?
Yeah, you would say, now this is just what I'm putting words in their mouths.
Right.
Okay. That they are the Gestapo working for a fascist president.
Okay.
And they are acting like fascists and they're breaking up families and all this kind of stuff. And someone's got to do something to stop it. And that's me.
Okay.
I think that's what they're thinking.
So they're against deporting people.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I just want to, they would say to you, deportations are immoral.
It's a police state. That's police what we're trying
okay.
to stop.
So if you got here, like I said earlier, the Democrat Party's position is here. If you can get into the country, there's going to be no threat of deportation. Shouldn't be, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Next story.
Well, just before the break, we were talking about the return of Jimmy Kimmel to the air to some ABC affiliates last night. Now, he did say something that is getting some attention. He had a lot of praise for Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, in what she had to say about forgiving the shooter in that case. Cut number two.
Woman over the weekend, a very beautiful moment. I don't know if you saw this. On Sunday, Erica Kirk forgave the man who shot her husband. She forgave him. That is an example we should follow. Yeah. Yeah. If you believe in the teachings of Jesus, as I do, there it was. That's it. A selfless act of grace, forgiveness from a grieving widow. It touched me deeply. And
I see it.
I hope it touches many. And if there's anything we should take from this tragedy to carry forward, I hope it can be that.
Somebody's invaded Jimmy Kimmel's body. That is not Jimmy Kimmel that I've known. Now, I don't watch him. I just see clips. Like anybody else, I just see clips here and there. I don't watch his show. That was pretty moving.
Yeah.
Right there, and I commend him for that. But that is diametrically opposed to his style.
He didn't forgive anybody. He's constantly unforgiving. So
yeah, he's just relentless.
Well, I will say this: it's in the way our okay. So let me take us back to yesteryear. Okay, during the Vietnam War, I was a conservative, really big conservative, defended the Vietnam War in class. I was growing up in New England, so there were a lot of lefties. Okay. And I regularly called people names on the other side. Okay.
You did?
Yeah. You know, communists and, you know,
commies.
Commie lover, pinko,
right.
All that kind of stuff. And people against the Vietnam War, remember when our GIs, Marines would come home, they'd call them, you know, shout at them, baby killer. Okay. Here's my point. When you have a polarized nation, like we're polarized, you get that. You get this real harsh attitude towards one another. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 24. He was talking about the end times, but I think it applies to all sorts of cultural circumstances, that when lawlessness increases, most people's love grows cold. And I think with people like Jimmy Kimmel, I have to watch it on the air sometimes. Jimmy Kimmel gets in this lane where he is mocking the people he disagrees with, and it is harsh, and it is cold, and it is callous, and it's insulting. And what we saw, I don't think he was acting. He is an actor, but I think it seems genuine, the feelings that he is expressing these two clips. When you step out of that kind of conflict, that cultural combat, you find out that maybe he's doing a gig or it's a shtick. You guys see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, but he's got a lifetime that opposes what you just said. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is
you're not going to forgive him, is what you're saying.
No, I'm going to remember exactly everything that he's done that's opposed to what he just said. Right. And from this point forward, we'll see. I think that's a good starting point, what you said, and I won't argue against it. But from this point forward, we'll see how genuine those comments were, because for the last couple of years, he's had 176 Democrats on his panel or on his show, and he's had one Republican. So,
He's partisan. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
He's on one side of the issue.
But there's no law against that, is there?
There's no law against what I'm saying is the mindset of these people are the commie pinkos. That's what I thought. Okay. Now, I still despise communism.
Sure.
Okay. But what I'm saying is I think what you're talking about is he's been going downhill in this category, throwing rocks, and all of a sudden he's been touched by something. And
I think it's disingenuous. I don't think he means that.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
I don't think you can. It didn't sound fake to me.
Yeah.
He's
an actor.
Okay.
He acts all the time.
All right.
And by the way, he got fired. That's the,
I'm disappointed that you don't believe in the goodness, base and goodness of humanity.
Not of Jimmy Kimmel, I do not.
Okay, right, Tom, the lefty on the show today.
We'll see. We'll see where that goes.
I told y'all how this program was going to go today, and y'all let me on. Y'all gave me the mic. So
I think I've been around the block a few times. That sounded genuine to me.
Okay.
What he was talking about. Now, it could have been he went in the office with his bosses,
yeah,
and they said, "You want a paycheck?"
Right.
And you need to go take your fanny out there and apologize to America for making such insensitive remarks.
I need to end with this.
Are you?
Okay, I need to end with this.
I'm mic dropping. Okay.
I do hope, as a Christian, I do hope that that is sincere. And I hope that we see fruits from that.
I didn't know that he was a follower of Jesus.
He said he believes in the teachings of Jesus. Like he said, if you believe in the teachings of Jesus like I do, maybe this will be a moment for him of some self-reflection. I hope
Next topic.
Well, President Trump could use some,
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to talk about that.
I hope and I wish President Trump would, you know, would find some way
humility.
As much as I love President Trump's policy, sometimes I don't think his the things he says and does don't help the situation. Okay, and I understand why he has to be the tough guy, right? Not take anything off anybody, and I'm the man. I understand that persona and everything like that, but I think maybe he could do something to sort of amp things down a little bit.
This is the way I look at it. The Bible says that God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Whether he is or not, I want Jimmy Kimmel to be in heaven.
Amen to that.
And whether he is or not,
I want Donald
Trump to be in heaven.
Right.
And there is room for that message. I think Charlie Kirk did this perfectly in terms of preaching the gospel and offering people hope and sticking to his guns when it came to his political and cultural beliefs. And I think that's why he struck a chord, and his assassination has moved people to consider the fact that you can be both.
Fred, I think three of us need to recognize Fred has a purpose in life.
He does.
And it's not just to be a potted plant.
Just to be another pretty face.
Okay, that's going too far. But anyway, next story, Fred. And Fred, if you want to take the story and comment it on your own, you go ahead, because I think
we haven't given him much chance.
No, go ahead, Fred.
All right. Well, I had a vacation for a week, so I'm all pent
up. Okay.
All right. In somewhat related to what we've just been discussing, in the wake of ABC's decision to take Jimmy Kimmel off the air, there were some people, government and non-government people, who said, "Yay, ABC, people who make comments like that should be taken off the air. In fact, you know, the government needs to step in when there are comments made like that, associating MAGA with the assassination of Charlie Kirk." That should be evidence that the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, should take that show off the air. Well, so I heard all of that in the last week or so, but then I got a press release yesterday from the National Religious Broadcasters, which represents Christian broadcasting across the country. I want you to read the headlines. The headline of this press release from the NRB: NRB champions free speech, encourages FCC to safeguard diverse media voices. Now, this is some of what they had to say. Troy Miller is the NRB president and CEO. This is what he said: "The strength of our democratic republic lies in its openness to diverse voices in the public square. And the government is responsible for allowing space for civil disagreement. When one voice is suppressed, all voices are at risk. If viewpoint-based suppression can be directed at mainstream broadcasters today, it could be directed at faith-based broadcasters tomorrow." I think what he's concerned about, if the FCC was to take the kind of action that is being proposed by some, then it could be used against Christian broadcasters should there be a Democrat government coming along a few years down the road who might not like what they hear on Christian radio stations.
And the chairman, Brendan Carr, the chairman of the FCC.
Yes.
He did make a public statement warning ABC.
Yes.
About doing something with Jimmy Kimmel after he made the initial comment, which was very insensitive. It was wrong. It was a lie. It was not true about the shooter, Charlie Kirk's murderer, being a MAGA person and the MAGA people trying to make believe that this wasn't one of their own, so, and to score political points. That was a terrible thing to say. We've talked about his apologies, whether they're real or genuine, that kind of thing. But then Brendan Carr said to ABC, okay, publicly said this, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. And to the best of your knowledge, Fred, you're saying NRB responded with this press release worried about what Brendan Carr said.
Yes, worried that it could be used against Christian broadcasters, because if you have an FCC chairman with a different point of view,
right,
who might say,
right.
"Hey, Christian radio station, we don't like what you're saying about transsexuals,
yeah,
homosexuals."
Now, we had Brendan Carr on.
Yes, we did.
Brendan Carr
on the FCC chairman a couple, 6 or 8 weeks ago or something like that on there. So, and I don't know, let's just say the federal government, the FCC in particular, should not be threatening to grant licenses or revoke licenses for radio and television stations based on political viewpoint. Our comments,
our lying,
our speech.
Seriously,
Jimmy Kimmel should not be threatened because he said this was a MAGA killer.
Even though that was knowingly a lie, he still should be able to say it.
I think his accountability is held with his bosses,
100%.
Not with
and viewers.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I think that's totally irresponsible.
Yeah,
what he did, and he should. I'm glad Disney ABC responded. And put him on a hiatus, and these ABC affiliates reacted. That was the, but if you start, and I don't think Brendan Carr would do that in the end. I don't think he would do something like that. Now, see, President Trump, I said the other day, you had a rope line the other day at the White House, and what's the former ABC reporter named Carl? That's his last name. Look it up.
Yeah, is that not Jonathan Carl?
It's Karl, isn't it?
Yeah, Jonathan Carl, I think.
Does he still work for ABC?
I'm not sure.
Does everybody know who I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Yes.
If he's not a podcaster, Wesley doesn't know who you're talking about. Jonathan Carl is his
name. ABC News Chief, Washington Correspondent. That was back in 2008.
I don't know if he still is or not.
You guys are both looking over my shoulders. You're making me nervous. Okay, ABC's Jonathan Carl. This is an article from the Huff Post. Now I got an ad.
Yep.
Okay. ABC's Jonathan Carl pushes back on MAGA outrage over his Charlie Kirk segment. And then President Trump, it says, drew a face-to-face attack. This was at the rope line, wasn't it? When he said,
"Yeah, go ahead, tell folks what happened there." This was last week. I'm making a point here. Go ahead.
Okay. In the video that his ABC segment, Jonathan Carl said, "Later today, family, friends, and supporters of Charlie Kirk will gather in Glendale, Arizona for his memorial. The 31-year-old activist murder shocked the nation, and it was condemned by sensible and compassionate people in and out of politics and across the political
spectrum."
That's
not what I'm talking about.
Okay, this is a long segment. I'm not sure which.
Okay, I'll tell people what happened.
Okay.
This was a confrontation at the White House. You know how they have a rope line, is what they call it? And the reporters are standing there, and they're all asking questions of the president. And you hear Marine One's helicopter blades in the background, and the president, whoever he may be, is getting ready to go somewhere. But he's going to take a couple questions. Or Biden quit doing that because he couldn't take questions any longer. We all know that, right?
Right.
But Trump is the king of this. He's always done give and take, right, with the
media,
with the media, and with the press. Well, this, what's his first name?
Talking about Jonathan Carl.
Jonathan Carl guy, who's again has a history with President Trump, says something to him, and Trump asked Trump something. And President Trump responds back to Jonathan Carl, and I may come after you too.
He said, maybe they'll have to go after you. That's his exact words.
What did he say to him?
He said, maybe they'll have to go after you.
Okay. So you want to know why Trump gets a reputation as an authoritarian and a dictator and saying stuff like that. You should not say stuff like that, because that's what they do in communist countries, dictatorships.
Yeah, the conversation was Jonathan Carl was asking about Attorney General Pam Bondi, who, okay, we've got that clip. All right, go ahead.
To go after hate speech, a lot of your allies say hate speech is free speech.
Should probably go after people like you because you treat me so unfairly. It's hate. You have a lot of hate in your heart. Maybe they'll come after ABC. Well, ABC paid me $16 million recently for a form of hate speech, right? Your company paid me $16 million for a form of hate speech. So maybe they'll have to go after you. Look, we want everything to be fair. It hasn't been fair. And the radical left has done tremendous damage to the country. But we're fixing it. We have right now the hottest country anywhere in the world. And remember, 1 year ago, our country was dead. And now Washington...
All right. Anyway, I'm just saying the president should not be saying that, because that's scary. What if Biden said to Fox News, we may be coming after you?
Okay, I agree with you up to that point, but at that point, you got to understand they had 4 years and they did all that.
No, they did not. No, they did not. They did not threaten you to take your license.
Okay, not from an FCC, they didn't, but they threatened to fire you if you didn't get the COVID vaccine, and they did that. From a government official,
well, I agree
were
with
fired.
That. I agree with that. I agree with that.
And that's a freedom. That was removed. The government, when Biden was in office, forced government officials to violate the Constitution multiple times. They already did it. So it does. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So let's just suppose. I'm just saying this is a very serious issue. Okay.
It is.
This isn't trivial. The First Amendment to the Constitution is what separates us basically from the rest of the world. Okay.
Yeah,
freedom of religion. Freedom of speech. Speech, freedom to gather, freedom for us to sit here and talk and discuss. And we're going to be talking about another story where freedom wasn't allowed with YouTube, but now it's being, quote, reinstated. So I want to talk about that, but we're running out of time this hour. But I'm just saying this is not a, shouldn't be a Republican or Democrat thing.
Right.
Shouldn't be a liberal conservative thing. We should all agree that the government should not be threatening to censor people based on their political views or their religious views or whatever the case may be. So I know it sounded to me like as the further President Trump got into that comment, he was just jabbing at this guy and jesting.
Yes.
So that I feel a little bit better about it.
After hearing it.
And he has a history again with the fake news media. Above the fray is a serious issue that our founders fought for.
Yeah, well, Pam Bondi got it wrong.
Yeah, on that.
Yes,
yeah.
I think so. And let's remember, when Joe Biden was in office, he nominated Gigi Sohn, if you remember.
I remember Gigi.
To fill a vacant seat on the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. She had said prior that Fox News She referred to it as state-sponsored propaganda.
Yep.
And so the reason why she was resisted by Republicans when she was in her hearings was because it sounded like the FCC might go after Fox News yep. for its propaganda. Mm-hmm. And we were up in arms.
Yes.
We sent out an action alert. And so I think we can all agree that, first of all, the government under Joe Biden went past its constitutional authority.
Absolutely.
With COVID.
We didn't like it.
But we didn't like it.
Right.
And
I
it's
agree.
Wrong. And we and the Trump administration also needs to be careful. I'm talking about Brendan Carr's comments, President Trump's comments, Pam Bondi's comments. We need to be careful that we are obeying the Constitution.
Yes. Amen.
As well. But I think, to Wesley's point, there ought to be heads that should roll over the COVID fiasco mm. and the fact that Mark Zuckerberg on Facebook
See,
has said the government pressured us
here,
to bounce people off Facebook.
No.
Disappointed in you, Ed. We're trying to temper things down. You go with the quote, heads will roll.
Well, let me just,
I don't know why you couldn't find another metaphor out of the million in the universe.
I just need to take some ivermectin,
yeah.
and I will be better.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.